Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into Range, a thought-provoking tome authored by the illustrious journalist David Epstein. Range challenges the prevalent notion that specialization equates to success, proposing instead that a diverse array of interests and taking time to discover one's true passion can lead to unparalleled excellence and groundbreaking innovation. Epstein weaves together compelling narratives from an eclectic spectrum of fields like business, sports, science, and psychology to make a case for the value of wide-ranging exploration and lifelong curiosity. David Epstein brings a wealth of knowledge to the table, being an award-winning journalist recognized for his comprehensive expertise in both scientific and sporting domains. Notably, his work has been featured in esteemed publications like ProPublica and Sports Illustrated, where he served as a senior writer. Furthermore, his insights on athletic performance have captivated millions, with his TED Talk receiving upwards of 7 million views and accolades from influential figures such as Bill Gates. The endorsement by Gates, coupled with former President Barack Obama's interest in Epstein's previous book, The Sports Gene, underscores the impact and relevance of his findings. Range is a book that speaks to those who are on a journey to find their calling, the intellectually curious souls who thrive on exploration, and anyone who is drawn towards achieving success through a path less traveled. Whether you are charting your own course in life or simply seeking to understand the breadth of human potential, Range offers a refreshing perspective on how broad experiences can shape extraordinary outcomes. Join us as we unpack the profound lessons and stories that underscore the indispensable value of embracing a wide-ranging approach to learning and living. Range, why generalists triumph in a specialized world. Introduction. Discover the uncharted path. Why breadth beats depth in success. The road to success is often depicted as a narrow path, with early specialization cited as the key to mastering a skill. Tiger Woods, for example, had a golf club in his hands by the age of 2, and his story is frequently used as a blueprint for success through early dedication to a single pursuit. But what if this common narrative doesn't paint the full picture of how to achieve extraordinary impact and innovation? It turns out that generalists, those with a wide array of experiences and knowledge, are the ones who find themselves at the forefront of progress and creativity. They may zigzag their way through careers, hobbies, and interests before discovering their niche, but this winding journey is precisely what enables them to think outside the box and draw groundbreaking connections across disciplines. Why? Because they haven't been confined to the deep well of specialization. Instead, generalists navigate a broad landscape of ideas, gathering insights that, quite unexpectedly, enable them to solve complex problems in unique ways. These individuals are likely to be more inventive since they're not blinded by the tight focus of expertise. The stories and insight from Range span an impressive scope, from medical breakthroughs to academic research to athletic achievements, illustrating just how pivotal a broad, varied background can be. This narrative reveals that expertise becomes a limitation rather than a ladder in many instances, as genuine experts sometimes fail to see beyond the horizons of their specialization. In the chapters ahead, we'll embark on an exploratory journey through various domains to discover the secrets behind the success of generalists. You'll uncover how the intricate tapestry of modern life necessitates a widespread cognitive toolkit and come to understand the reasons behind the bold statement. Be more like Roger Federer, eclectic and versatile, rather than a true blue specialist like Tiger Woods. Part 1: The Double-Edged Sword of Starting Young and Narrowing Your Focus. The tale of Tiger Woods gripping a golf club before he could even walk is emblematic of today's rush to specialize. To many, his journey illustrates a golden principle: to truly excel, one must specialize early, drill deep, and practice with unyielding intensity. This notion isn't unique to the athletic arena. It's woven into the fabric of professional life, from the intricate realms of finance to the halls of academia and even into the corridors of hospitals, where doctors are increasingly pigeonholed into niche areas. Oncology, for example, is segmented not just by cancer types but by specific organs, with specialists so narrowly focused that the term right ear surgeon isn't entirely facetious. But does this societal push towards hyperspecialization genuinely hold up under scrutiny? This dilemma was examined by celebrated psychologists Daniel Kahneman and Gary Klein, whose research published in 2009 uncovers some surprising findings. While certain professions like firefighting benefit extensively from specialized experience, allowing veterans to read patterns in flames and react almost automatically, such clear advantages are not universally applicable. Kahneman's investigation of the Israeli Defense Forces officers provides a stark contrast. Here, the evaluators' repeated attempts to predict an officer's potential based on standard metrics were no more accurate than random guesses. Even more tellingly, the officer's evaluative skills didn't improve with experience, showcasing a blatant disconnect between the amount of experience in a field and the quality of performance within it. This leads us to an eye-opening realization. Not all fields are like golf, with consistent patterns and straightforward rules to guide us. Life, more often than not, is akin to the complex task of army recruitment, lacking clear signposts and demanding a blend of creativity and adaptability that only generalists usually possess. As we peel back the layers, we'll see how life's ambiguous terrains benefit from the rich palette of experiences that only a non-specialist can bring to the table. Part 2. From varied play to mastery, the surprising road to top performance. In the radiant aftermath of his US Open win, Roger Federer shared an intimate moment with his peer, Tiger Woods, recognizing a kinship in their triumphant spirits. Yet behind their shared gaze from the summit of success lay two vastly different journeys, one of early specialization, the other of broad exploration. Roger Federer's childhood was a tapestry of athletic endeavors, from skiing to wrestling, or anything involving a ball. Unlike Tiger, who was virtually born into his sport, Roger's mother, a tennis coach, never forced him into a mold. It was through this rich variety of activities that young Federer honed his timeless hand-eye coordination and agility. He meandered towards tennis in his teens, motivated by joy rather than the blinders of early specialization. When his talent emerged and his coaches wanted to promote him to train with the older kids, Federer chose camaraderie over competition, a decision that speaks to his holistic approach to sport and growth. Roger's circuitous route to tennis glory stands as a testament to a broader principle that cuts across disciplines. Early sampling can often be more beneficial than early specializing. Dance through the fields of your interests, and you might just stumble upon excellence in a place you least expect it. Take Yo-Yo Ma, the illustrious cellist, whose foray into music wasn't a straight march to the cello. He sampled the violin and piano before settling into the deep, rich tones of the cello, his true love in the symphony of instruments. Similarly, a study by music psychologist John Sloboda at a British boarding school revealed that students who had experimented with three different instruments were more likely to excel than their counterparts who had narrowed down their focus from an earlier age. This theory isn't confined to sports and arts. It extends to all facets of life. Consider the path of Vincent van Gogh, who wandered through numerous vocations before his brushes kissed the canvas, igniting a revolution in the world of art. So, if your passion hasn't tapped you on the shoulder yet, perhaps it's time to embrace experimentation. Float through vocations, hobbies, and disciplines. You may very well be on your way to uncovering a talent that could shift the course of your field and maybe, just maybe, change the world. Part 3. The Rise of IQ and Abstract Thinking in a World of Complexity. In the rolling landscapes of Dunedin, New Zealand, an insightful discovery emerged through the work of James Flynn. This political studies professor unearthed a compelling trend that would reshape our understanding of intelligence. Through the decades, the nation's average IQ scores were climbing steadily. The revelations didn't stop at the borders of the United States. When Flynn cast his net wider, he gathered data from across the globe, finding a consistent uptick in IQ, about 3 points per decade, spanning over 30 countries. This phenomenon became known as the Flynn effect. But the million-dollar question lingered. Why were IQ scores increasing worldwide? Alexander Luria's work as a Russian psychologist in the early years of the Soviet Union's transformation shines a light on the answer. With societal progress transforming ancient isolated villages into hubs of collective farming and industrial endeavors, Luria observed a fascinating shift in people's cognitive abilities. In his experiments, Luria found that in the most traditional villages, residents struggled with the concept of grouping items based on abstract categories, like color. When confronted with a pile of varying shades of wool, they saw each piece as distinct and irreplaceable. Grouping them was nonsensical to their practical experience-driven minds. Similarly, when asked to identify which figure did not belong in a group of images with three adults and one child, a villager named Rachmat envisioned the boy not in abstract isolation, but as part of a collective reality, working alongside the adults. For him, and many like him, abstract categorization was subordinate to the tangible roles they played in everyday life. As the tendrils of modernization wound their way through society, Luria noted that the residents' thought processes matured, with newer generations exhibiting a far greater capacity for abstract reasoning. In today's world, this ability to understand and manipulate abstract concepts, symbolized by such everyday occurrences as decoding a computer's download progress bar, has become a hallmark of our cognitive prowess. Yet, paradoxically, in an era where our minds are more adept than ever at juggling complex ideas and making interdisciplinary connections, there remains a pervasive cultural urge to reduce the scope of our focus, to hone in rather than zoom out. This juxtaposition invites us to challenge the narrow fields of vision dictated by our roles and endeavors, and instead embrace the vast intellectual potential that our contemporary convoluted world has equipped us with. Part 4, The Tortoise's Strategy, Embracing the Struggle for Lasting Learning. It may come as a surprise, but your favorite teachers, the ones who made classes a breeze, might not have given you the most enduring wisdom. A compelling study at the U.S. Air Force Academy revealed a counterintuitive truth about education. The instructors who were the darlings of student evaluations, whose pupils soared through exams, weren't the ones instilling the most substantial knowledge. In stark contrast, it was the professors who received lukewarm or even critical reviews from their students who left a lasting intellectual legacy. The key? These less popular educators employed a method that might have been a thorn in the side of their students at the time, but proved to be a gift in disguise. A concept aptly named desirable difficulties. Rather than spoon-feeding the material for the sake of acing tests, these teachers embedded deep mathematical principles into their lessons, a move that proved frustrating and challenging, reflected in the initial mediocre grades and evaluations they received. Yet this very struggle paved the way for genuine comprehension and long-term retention. This puzzling dynamic is not exclusive to calculus or even academic environments. It's a principle that can enrich learning in all domains. The practice of spacing is one such powerful learning tool that embodies desirable difficulties. By incorporating intervals between initial learning and subsequent review sessions, we can significantly improve memory retention. A 1987 study in the Journal of Experimental Psychology demonstrated this by testing two groups of Spanish students. The spacing between initial learning and subsequent testing proved that those given time to forget and relearn retained over twice as much vocabulary. Even the seemingly insignificant act of spacing by mere seconds can have an impact. When Iowa State University researchers first challenged a group with immediate recall and another after a brief mathematical distraction, the immediate recall group shone. However, later on, when memories had to traverse the longer pathway from short-term to long-term storage, the group that initially struggled remembered more. Thus, If you find yourself tempted by the siren call of quick learning and easy progress, remember the tortoise's slow and steady approach. Embrace the struggle. Persevere through the challenges and cling to the desirable difficulties. It's the effortful journey in learning, not the swift ascent, that carves the deepest grooves into the bedrock of our memory. Part 5. The pitfalls of tunnel vision and embracing a broader perspective. Specialists are revered in our society, particularly in high-stakes environments like medicine. When undergoing surgery, the thought of a specialist who has navigated similar procedures countless times is reassuring, yet there are instances where this specialized tunnel vision might do more harm than good. Take cardiologists and their use of stents to alleviate chest pain, an approach trained into them through years of focused practice. At first glance, the reliance on such a trusted method seems logical. However, a study led by Dr. Anupam Jaina from Harvard Medical School revealed a startling paradox. The rate of patient fatalities due to cardiac arrest or heart failure actually dropped when the top cardiologists were not present at the hospital. This peculiarity isn't confined to the medical field. Businesses, too, face challenges when experts look at situations through the narrow lens of their own experience. This was demonstrated in a study by Dan Lavallo, a professor from the University of Sydney. Private equity investors were asked to scrutinize and predict returns on businesses they intended to invest in. Yet when they briefly considered similar, albeit unrelated, projects, their expected returns on their original investments were suddenly deemed overly optimistic, prompting a hefty recalibration of their projections. The power of expanding one's view is evident time and again. We see that detail-oriented assessments can skew perspectives and lead to exaggerated conclusions. For example, when university students evaluated their schools, the mere mention that select departments ranked nationally elicited higher overall ratings for the entire institution. It becomes evident that a deep dive into particulars can obscure the wider landscape, often leading to questionable decisions or misguided judgments. To navigate the complexities of life effectively, we must learn to shift our gaze upward and outward, to adopt a comprehensive view that encompasses not only the intricacies at hand, but also the context in which they exist. Breaking free from the confines of our specialized knowledge allows for more nuanced and informed perspectives, sparing us from the pitfalls of a myopic viewpoint. Part 6. How a broad palette of interests breeds breakthrough innovation. What can the colorful world of comic books reveal about success? Dartmouth business professor Alva Taylor and Henrik Greve from the Norwegian School of Management set out to answer this unconventional question. They examined the careers of comic creators and the success of comics dating back to 1971, hypothesizing that more prolific creators and wealthier publishers would churn out higher-value comics. Their assumptions, however, crumbled like the pages of an old comic book. They found that the richness of a creator's work was not tied to the quantity of comics they produced, nor to the financial muscle behind them. Instead, it was the diversity of their creative endeavors, the number of different genres from comedy to crime and fantasy to nonfiction, that fueled commercial triumph. This correlation between breadth and accomplishment extends far beyond the artistic sphere. Consider Andy Uderkirk, a standout inventor at 3M, who was bestowed with the title of Innovator of the Year in 2013. With 170 patents to his name, Uderkirk delved into the anatomy of successful, inventive teams. His discovery echoed the comic book study's outcome. The innovators making waves and garnering accolades like 3M's Carlton Award were not mere specialists. They were polymaths, individuals who had a primary focus but also boasted wide-ranging expertise across multiple fields. Polymaths, Uderkirk learned, were skillful at harnessing knowledge from one domain and repurposing it in another. Their cross-pollination of ideas often led to the birth of groundbreaking inventions. This conclusion is further solidified by research from Robert Root Bernstein, a professor of psychology at Michigan State University. While scrutinizing the hobbies of Nobel laureates versus other scientists, Bernstein found that these extraordinarily successful thinkers were not only steeped in their fields, but were also 22 times more likely to engage in performance arts like amateur acting or dancing. The broader implication for organizations is substantial. To invigorate innovation, it's crucial to cast a wider net in talent acquisition. The multidisciplinary individual who defies the proverbial pigeonhole could very well be the source of your team's next great breakthrough. Rather than seeking candidates who tick all the boxes, seek out those who bring a rich mosaic of experience. It may be the catalyst your team needs to soar to new heights of creativity and innovation. Part 7: The Unpredictable Nature of Expertise. Imagine a world-class ensemble of 284 experts esteemed for their knowledge, predicting the future over the span of 2 decades. Now picture that their forecasts are no more accurate than if they were tossing darts blindfolded. This is not a fictional scenario, but the finding of forecasting authority. Philip Tetlock, who, during the tense years of the Cold War, put expert predictions to the test only to uncover their startling unreliability. Advanced degrees, years steeped in a specialized field, or privileged access to sensitive data, none of these factors translated into predictive prowess. When these experts deemed an event impossible, it defied their expectations 15% of the time. The occurrences they guaranteed with unwavering certainty faltered 1 in 4 times. Moreover, Tetlock unearthed an unsettling inverse relationship. The more frequently an expert appeared on television, the less reliable their forecasts turned out to be. One reason for this trend of misplaced forecasts lies in the narrowness of their perspective. An intricate focus on a singular issue like US-Soviet geopolitics may birth detailed theories, but such specialized lenses can obscure larger, unpredictable realities. So, what is the antidote to this blinkered forecasting? Psychologist Jonathan Baron suggests it's something called active open-mindedness, a readiness to reevaluate one's beliefs. This is easier said than done. Our human inclination is to cling to familiar notions, handpicking information that reinforces our pre-existing beliefs. A cognitive bias, ample studies have demonstrated. Yale professor Dan Kahan's research, for example, showed that partisan opinions can cloud even basic data analysis. When faced with raw statistics about the efficacy of a skin cream, individuals assessed the information competently, but when the same data was presented in a politically charged context, such as immigration and crime, interpretations skewed wildly along political lines. Fighting this ingrained tendency requires cultivating not just scientific knowledge, but scientific curiosity. It's about fostering a thirst for discovery over the comfort of old knowledge, about the joy of probing beyond the surface, and the mental flexibility to assimilate new evidence with an honest and open stance. Next, we venture into how to incite this breed of curiosity, which promises a clearer vision of the world around us and stands as a more reliable compass than the wisdom of self-proclaimed sages. Part 8: Redefining the Success Paradigm, From Expert to Versatile Learner. How sharp are your problem-solving skills? Consider this. Disease X afflicts 1 out of every 1,000 people, and the test to detect it has a false positive rate of 5%. What is the probability a person with a positive test actually has the disease? If you correctly answered 1.96%, congratulations! You're ahead of the curve, literally. This question stumped 75% of Harvard and Boston University medical students and physicians, most of whom overestimated the probability at a confident 95%. To successfully navigate such a problem, one must contemplate it openly, which, unfortunately, is not a skill routinely imparted in education. This is something that Arturo Casadevall, a luminary in microbiology and immunology, aims to address. At the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, he's pioneering programs that stitch together strands of philosophy, ethics, statistics, and logic to craft a tapestry of holistic education. Students are encouraged to investigate truth from a multidisciplinary vantage point and to scrutinize scientific research for errors or ethical slips. Casadevall's vision is clear: to equip students with the tools to critically approach problems and thus to meaningfully influence our economy and society. Not everyone holds a position of influence in academia like Casadevall, but we can still expand our intellectual horizons. One way to do this is by embracing failure as an inherent aspect of the learning process. According to creativity researcher Dean Keith Simonton, voluminous output leads to a higher mix of both duds and masterpieces. One needs to look no further than Thomas Edison, whose staggering 1,000 plus patents encompassed both widely ignored inventions and game changers like the light bulb. It's through this acceptance of failure and a commitment to broad exploration that we can redefine what it means to succeed. By following a diverse, sometimes haphazard trail of experiences, we may not always reach our destination quickly, but we stand a far better chance of arriving at a place of lasting significance and groundbreaking innovation. Final summary. In a world that often glorifies hyper-specialization, the unsung champions of progress are, in fact, those who choose to embrace a wide-ranging approach. The message is clear: casting a broad net, venturing into diverse fields, indulging in varied hobbies, sampling different disciplines, is not just a viable alternative to choosing a narrow path early on. It's a potent ingredient for meaningful accomplishment. The journey to success through range is not for the faint-hearted. It requires patient navigation through complexity, a steadfast commitment to expanding one's knowledge, and an unrelenting curiosity about the world. These attributes foster innovative thinking, enabling us to connect disparate ideas and apply insights from one domain to another. By prioritizing range and adaptability, and by cultivating a mindset attuned to learning, we prepare ourselves not just for personal achievements, but for making a profound collective impact. As explorers of a multitude of experiences, whether in arts, sciences, sports, or any other field, we become more adept at contributing to our world's evolving tapestry, driving innovation and change where it truly matters. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.